They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's popular to blame China for the weak stock market these days, but maybe it also has something to do with what we pay people in America. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Stock market participants remain in a snit this morning of the mind to take risk out of their portfolios by selling stocks. Yesterday, the Dow fell 264 points, 2.2%. The S&P 500 fell by 2.5%. So it's down more than 10% from a recent peak in November. That's the rule of thumb for labeling a drop in the S&P a correction. This morning, Dow and S&P futures are down 0.2%. The NASDAQ future is down about 0.5%. The mantra from analysts is that slower growth in China and in other emerging market countries is weighing down stocks. But many of the stocks that fell yesterday were companies that try to make money off consumers. Think Amazon or Netflix. Lindsay Piegza is the chief economist at Stifel Fixed Income.
Really have been struggling. Despite the fact that we've seen lower gas prices, we haven't seen the very key component, which is wage growth. There's really a lack of momentum going forward unless we see much more robust improvement on the income side. And as of late, the numbers suggest really more of this modest bouncing along that we've seen for the past several years. So certainly continuing to keep the consumer in a positive frame of mind, but very, very modest in terms of their ability to continue to ramp up spending going forward.
Other world stock markets are a sea of red on our screens this morning. The FTSE in London down more than 2%. The DAX in Germany is down 3.4%. The catalyst for some of the turbulence this year, the Shanghai stock market, the key index there, perversely closed up 2% today. A few minutes ago, America's largest bank, J.P. Morgan, reported its latest profits. It made more than $24 billion in 2015, $1.32 a share, higher than predictions. But it did it in a way that it hasn't ever before. A tweet. Typically, a company's earnings go out to the world via press release through a business wire service. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports from New York on how fears of hackers and other concerns have banks rethinking how they communicate.
Earnings press releases may sound boring to some, but they are juicy targets for hackers, says Chester Wisneski with the security firm Sophos.
They have early access to information that's going to potentially make people or lose people a lot of money.
Federal investigators uncovered a scheme last year where traders and hackers stole press releases from wire services before they went public. And there are other concerns, says Morningstar bank analyst Jim Sinegal.
There have been a number of companies where results have come out too early. So companies, especially financial companies, are wanting to take control of that process.
Well-run banks manage risk, and more of them feel their earnings data is safest on their own servers. Then they can just give everyone the link on Twitter. Bruce Schneier is chief technology officer at Resilient Systems.
What these banks are saying is some of these press releases are more valuable than others, and we can secure them better than the wire services can.
But security isn't cheap. This and other threats have banks spending big on digital safeguards. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
North American International Auto Show, otherwise known as the Detroit Car Show, is in full bloom this week. And that show, in many cases, seems to be putting the tech before the horse. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is here with more. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, David.
I guess it says something about 2016 that you get a car show that may be more about cars that drive themselves and not much about the actual driver.
Yeah, arguably, there is no more car. There is only the tech. I have to say, I think that the new Mercedes E-Class, which was announced at the show, is probably the most extreme example of cars that are getting to the point where they can virtually drive themselves. The E-Class is as capable of driving itself as you're going to find in a modern car. It can speed up, slow down, steer, and even change lanes for you. And then this is insane. If a collision is near, the car will emit a sound that causes your eardrums to tense up so that you don't get hearing damage from the sound of the crash.
I can make the case that you never did drive an E-Class. You always had the chauffeur drive the E-Class. It always was a car that seemed to drive itself.
You're so right. It's a virtual chauffeur. But we're seeing a lot more, too. Volvo announced that semi-autonomous, which is basically sort of self-driving features, will be standard. Putting them standard, even on a very expensive sedan, says that autonomous driving is really coming to the mainstream.
But, you know, embedded in this is an economic question that I think could be revolutionary. Will we actually have to own cars in the future if there could be these little fleets of self-driving cars whenever we needed one?
There's sort of this growing sense that cars are very wasteful indulgence. It's the most expensive thing that you use that sits idle 95% of the time. Ford is even getting into that game. They're working on a ride-sharing platform. And in Austin, and I think this is amazing, they have rolled out a lease-sharing option so that up to 6 people can lease a car together. And so it's not just the idea of sharing rides. It's the idea of sharing the actual vehicle.
Now, listen, I'm a bit of a car guy. So are there any cars at the Detroit show that don't drive themselves or threaten to take our personal cars away?
There are a couple. Buick actually surprised the show. They showed off this Avista concept, taking that sort of there's no way that's a Buick marketing strategy even further. It looks a little like an Aston Martin. BMW finally showed off the M2, which is really just a small car that's meant to go really fast. And that company had a record year. U.S. sales were up 1.8%. Sales of the M line, which is really their sporty race car line, those were up 65%. So yes, some people do still want to drive.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And I didn't know this, but the owner of a business that sells a Powerball jackpot ticket gets a $1 million bonus. One of the Powerball winners last night had bought the ticket at a 7-Eleven in the California town of Chino Hills. The owner of that 7-Eleven, Balbir Atwal, is quoted saying he will use the $1 million to fund scholarships for deserving members of the community. Once the news hit, locals swarmed into that 7-Eleven to pay homage to the high temple of lottery. The chant, Chino Hills erupted. It's near L.A. There were also winners in Tennessee and Florida. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.